As we all know, Bruce Springsteen is an iconic megastar. He's a humanitarian, a philanthropist, and he's also probably the most famous person ever to come out of the state of New Jersey, certainly the most famous musician. What you may not be aware of is there's a museum going up on the campus of Monmouth University in West Long Branch, New Jersey. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But before we go there, I live in Monmouth County, New Jersey. And in Monmouth County, New Jersey, and really through the whole state, everybody's got a Bruce story. You know, whether or not Bruce just showed up in Asbury Park and started playing, whether or not you saw him getting ice cream at Jersey Freeze in Freehold, New Jersey, or you've seen him at the Freehold Diner. With that, I want to introduce our guest today. And our guest is Melissa Ziobro with Monmouth University. And Melissa is the professor of public history at Monmouth University. You're an accomplished author, and you're also the curator of the Bruce Springsteen Archives and Center for American Music. Thank you for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me. Yes, I'm relatively new to this role, moving from the Department of History and Anthropology to the Springsteen Archives and Center for American Music this past August.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I've had the pleasure of working with the team there, Eileen Chapman, Bob Santelli, for many years in my faculty role. You know, when the archives came to campus, it was kind of the perfect sandbox for my public history students to play in. And so back to 2015 or 2016, you know, my students, if we were doing an oral history class, we would do oral histories for the archives. If we were doing a museums class, we would do an exhibit with the archives. So now as we plan for this exciting new building project, I am just thrilled for the opportunity to be a part of the team full time.
How does a project like this come together, Melissa?
Oh my goodness. Do you want a thumbnail? And I promise I'll keep it brief. history of how this collection comes to be and how it gets to Monmouth?
Yes, please.
So the collection that we have at Monmouth now actually starts with a fan group, right? There's a group of fans who come together, and as fans do, they've collected amazing things over the years, right? Ticket stubs and rare bootlegs and photos. And so they form a nonprofit, the Friends of the Bruce Springsteen Special Collection, and they pool their resources, and I'm greatly shortening a story here. So I hope anybody listening from the Friends group doesn't hold it against me that I'm truncating this. But they find a home for this fan-based collection at the Asbury Park Library. It is there for a period, but quickly outgrows the space that the library can offer because there is such energy and enthusiasm around this collection. And people
want to. This is New Jersey.
Yes, people want to come visit, people want to donate. Yeah. So it outgrows the Asbury Park Library and it winds up coming to Monmouth University in 2011. Monmouth University dedicates what was a residential home. It's a Cape Cod style house adjacent to the university. And they donate that for the collection to live. So my colleague Eileen Chapman, you know, is really the woman on the ground making this happen and, you know, begins getting students and faculty involved. As I said, that's how I wind up getting involved. So the collection comes to Monmouth, and then there's some discussion going on behind the scenes, kind of simultaneously, about what Bruce will do with his own archives, you know, his personal papers, his mom's scrapbooks, etc., etc.
All that stuff over 50 years.
Incredible, right? Sure. Think about it. And so this is where Monmouth University alum Bob Santelli really comes in. Bob is, you know, Jersey strong, born and raised. He's a Monmouth alum, has this amazing career as a writer, and goes on to work at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Grammy Museum. In the course of his incredible career, he develops a relationship, a working relationship with Bruce. And so the whole music world is curious, what's Bruce going to do with his stuff? What are the plans, right? And it is decided that Bruce will make Monmouth University his official repository. This is a huge honor.
His kids went there, didn't they?
No, they did not, actually.
I thought they did.
His kids did not go there, and Bruce himself did not go there. Bruce does one semester, I believe it is, at Ocean County College before, you know, deciding to focus his energies on his musical career and ultimately hitting it big. But he did play several shows at Monmouth. So, you know, there's a number of factors that go into why it comes to Monmouth. It's this desire for the collection to stay in New Jersey. It's the affinity with Monmouth University and the shore. So as of
it still stays on the shore, yes, close to where he lived, right? He lives next town over from here.
So as of 2017, then, we go from being this fan-based collection to the Bruce Springsteen Archives and Center for American Music. That piece is key. That was something that everybody was excited about, to include Bruce. He didn't want it to be just about him. And so we have that Center for American Music piece, which will allow us to really teach not just music history, but American history more broadly through that very accessible prism of music.
What a great way to teach history, too, is through the music. The iconic music of Bruce and the other artists. I know there's a lot of other artists that are going to be incorporated into this museum.
Absolutely. And so now that little Cape Cod house that the university generously, you know, contributed is insufficient to do what we need, right? Of course, it is, you know, climate control and secure and safe, but we don't have, you know, sweeping exhibits in there that allow us to put items out on display, to tell interpretive stories for people. And so it became evident very, very quickly that we needed a new building that could manage this great honor.
How big do we have to go?
We're going 30,000 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah, so it will be a two-story building, 30,000 square feet, roughly. It has a roughly 250-seat theater. We're still coming to the tail end of the design phase right now, so everything I say is subject to slight tweaks. But 30,000 square feet, two floors of exhibits, the archive itself, where folks will come do research, and that roughly 250-seat theater.
I can't wait.
Yes.
That's going to be amazing.
You can't wait. Everybody can't wait. It's going to be an incredible heritage tourism draw, right? We expect to see tens of thousands of people coming to New Jersey, to Monmouth County, every year to visit this. And we are just so thrilled about that.
That's wonderful, Melissa. Now, how much impact does the band or the bands have on what's going into the museum, how it's going to look? How involved are they?
So, you know, just kind of tackling this superficially so as not to violate anyone's privacy, we do have a working relationship with all of the band members. You know, that generally happens at the level of our executive director, Bob Santelli, and our director, Eileen Chapman. But there is absolutely input. Bruce's longtime manager and collaborator, John Landau, is on our board, for example, right? We regularly collaborate with Bruce's PR team, right? So there is that collaboration that happens on a regular basis. We have this wonderful exhibit right now that's going to open in February at the LBJ Presidential Library Museum in Texas. And, you know, it was like, okay, Max is allowing us to use his Born in the USA drums, right? So we have those relationships. And I think that it's a great resource for us. And we want to be very careful to nurture that precious relationship, you know, just really proceeding with respect for them at all times.
They've had so much influence over the New Jersey culture and music as a whole, that these archives that come in, they must be amazing to go through.
Oh my gosh, it's incredible. And as I was saying earlier, you know, before we started recording, it's just growing constantly, right? So our relationship with Bruce makes us his official repository, but then we're still being offered donations from other folks all the time. For example, the papers of Tex and Marion Vineyard. These were a freehold couple who were really influential to Bruce in his formative years growing up in Freehold. So, you know, when Marion passed away, we got these Tupperware bins of photos and letters and things like that. And then there's the general public, right, who has amassed some of these fans' incredibly rare collections over the years. So it's just absolutely fascinating.
I was telling you beforehand, a very good friend of mine knew that we were talking, immediately said, I have something that no one's ever seen before, 1974 pictures, Lincoln Center, Bruce Clarence, the band. I have 50 different pictures that I want to be able to donate and send over for consideration.
Yeah.
So once people know, they want to give it back, which I think is amazing. By the way, no one's trying to hold on to it. They want to share it with everyone.
Yes. And then we want to make sure it's processed properly, that it is stored properly, and that we then share it, right? This is something that, you know, when I teach museums and archives, I stress museums and archives and libraries, they don't store these items for themselves. We hold these items in the public trust. And so, you know, folks who come to visit the museum will see these items, but we'll also be working to digitize collections so that individuals who can't come visit us in gorgeous New Jersey can still experience some of that magic, can still do some of the research that they need to do.
So what's the projected plans to hopefully start to put a shovel in the ground and have everything at completion?
Yeah, so we are in, you know, near constant communications with our architect, Cook Fox, out of New York City. They're wonderful. Shout out to them. We hope to have a groundbreaking this spring. Of course, that's very tentative because so many things depend on it. We are going across from the University Library, right on the corner of Norwood and Cedar. The University Police Department will be moving to a new facility that will better serve their needs. We need to dismantle the current police department building and then build our building, right? So
it's a great location. I know exactly where it is.
Yes, between design specifications and the police department move that must happen first and all of the permitting, you can imagine there are a lot of variables. A lot of variables. But we do hope that in the spring we could have some type of groundbreaking ceremony. And we hope to open by the spring of 26, which, as I was noting earlier, is America's semi-quincentennial, America's 250th birthday, right?
Perfect time to do it, Melissa.
Perfect time to open that museum, which, again, talks not just about Bruce, but that first floor of the museum is dedicated to American music history more broadly.
What are some of the other performers, or who are some of the other performers that will be in the museum?
We've got 2 years to work on our storylines and get everything right. But I believe that our first floor American Music History exhibit will incorporate much of what we are using in our traveling exhibit, Music America, right now, which I referenced as opening at the LBJ Library. So, you know, we want to look at the depth and breadth of American performers even before being a professional performer was a thing, right? So we want to start by looking at indigenous music, you know, relying heavily on indigenous advisors. We want to then move into the sacred music that was first brought over by the colonists and then move into the work songs of the enslaved and go forward from there, right?
So
we're all about, yeah, talking
it.
About the big name artists, yes, but also all of those nameless Americans who contributed to this great hodgepodge that becomes American music culture.
And it's all a progression over the course of time. You look at things like rock and roll, it has such base in blues. Blues music, look at Led Zeppelin, completely influenced by blues music. Even Black Sabbath, some of the earlier rock bands and all the American music, obviously, as well.
And this actually allows us, this borrowing and building, allows us to have really thoughtful discussions about cultural appropriation and race and economics, right? So that is really exciting to me. It's not just, oh, look at the shiny objects. We're going to tell serious stories here that help people to understand who we are as a people, how we got that way, the things we've done wrong, the things we've done right, and how we can be our best selves going forward.
It feels like where this will be different is exactly how you outlined it. So it's not just about archives. Come look, oh, here's something that Bruce wore in the Born in the USA album, or here's something that another performer had worn, a guitar that they used. It's more about, hey, we have the archives. Let's loop it all together. Let's tell the story.
Absolutely.
Let's tell the story of American music. Let's coach people, teach people, and be better people as a result of it.
Absolutely. You know, we recognize that we have a number of different constituencies, and we want to serve them all. We believe we can serve them all. There's the music fans, right, who are going to come for fun. We love that, right? But we also want to see that parking lot full of school buses, full of kids coming to learn about music history. Yes, but as I keep saying, it's more than that. It's the story of us. It's the story of America.
It's ironic. That's the vision I had in my head, are all the school buses coming. This is what we're going to on our field trip.
Yes.
We're going to go to the Music Museum, and we're going to learn and we're going to grow. That's amazing.
Towards that end, I hope to this spring convene a committee of New Jersey middle school and high school educators. I don't believe that we should take a build it and they will come approach, but rather we should consult with them from the beginning about their curriculum standards, what they want to see in a museum. So we're very excited about that. We also anticipate that there will be a lot of interactives in the museum. Kids want to do stuff. They don't want to just stand there and have a docent saying, look at this, look at this. So we hope to build a lot of those interactives in. All of this, of course, costs a lot of money, right? But we're on it. We're fundraising our tails off, particularly our executive director, Bob Santelli.
And is that where the funds come to build something like this, just fundraising?
We are fundraising, absolutely. The build is pegged at roughly $45 million, but then there's the salaries and all of that. The Bruce Springsteen Archives and Center for American Music is essentially self-funding, right? We are a private nonprofit that belongs to the university, and we are doing our own fundraising with support from the University Development Office, but we are doing our own fundraising for this project. So it's not coming out of tuition dollars. It's not coming out of the university's operating budget. We are fundraising for it, and the donors are largely individuals who have not given to Monmouth University before. I myself am a Hawk. I'm a Monmouth alum. I wouldn't want the center to be doing anything that's detracting from other missions on campus. So it's not like somebody used to donate to the football team or to a scholarship fund and they said, no, this year I'm going to give it to the Bruce Springsteen Archives. We find that most of our donors are new donors.
First-time donors.
Yeah.
That's great. We're going to give some information at the end of the show so people, how people could donate.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Thank you.
No. Bonus. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be right back at you in a couple minutes.
I'm Trevor West with West Properties, and my partners and I are buying distressed homes just like this one all across Monmouth and Ocean County. If you are in a financially distressed situation and are unsure of how to get out, or if your home is in disarray and you do not think it can be sold, please reach out to me. My partners and I are looking to expand. We promise a cash offer, a quick closing, and a haggle-free experience. So please go to westpropertiesusa.com, schedule a meeting, and I look forward to speaking with you.
Picture the scene, it's 1975, and Bruce Springsteen's on the cover of Newsweek and Time simultaneously, which is amazing. Really is the future of rock and roll. And I just wanted to read something out of Newsweek. So Newsweek had referred to Bruce as being a phenomenon, and they asked him about, hey, how's it feel to be a phenomenon? And his response was, what phenomenon? We ain't no phenomenon. The hype just gets in the way. And it really speaks to Bruce's drive, desire, in the purest nature of it being about the music. Now, after that, Born to Run comes out, things really start to explode. Now, what I was wondering, Melissa, is at what point did Bruce become an iconic superstar? What was the pivotal event in there?
We almost didn't need a Bruce Museum, right? Because so we just, the Bruce Springsteen Archives and Center for American Music hosts a tremendous amount of dynamic programming. And last year, 2023, we did anniversary events for Bruce's first albums, Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey, and The Wild, the Innocent, and the E Street Shuffle. Now, those albums come out and they enjoy critical acclaim, but they're not selling like hotcakes. There's some number, and this is an adorable story to me, where the record company is saying it only sold this many. And Bruce is like, that's amazing. That many people bought my record. He tells the story in his autobiography. But it was not selling in the volume that the record company would have liked. And, as we come to the end of 1973, it's kind of a make or break moment for Bruce. And of course, Born to Run then comes out and he explodes to popularity. The rest is history. But I mean, Bruce, even by the time Greetings from Asbury Park and The Wild and the Innocent come out, he'd been grinding away for years, playing at teen clubs and swim clubs, and then, finally gets his break with these albums. And still, it takes time before the wider public really catches on. But from 1975 forward, right, it's perhaps New Jersey's greatest success story.
It's almost like there's multiple levels of a career for him, because you have 1975, you're on the cover of Newsweek and Time and Born to Run, and then you get into the 80s. What year? 1984, mm-hmm. I think, Born in the USA comes mm-hmm. out. And that's MTV generation. That's right in my wheelhouse. And Dancing in the Dark, Video, and he just explodes. And I remember, too, I think even Ronald Reagan took his music to promote his presidential campaign.
Much to Bruce's dismay.
I know. I've read about that. Now, what do you think in the museum is going to be the... You think there's one piece in there that's going to be so amazing that people aren't going to be able to get enough of it?
Oh, goodness. This is so hard.
I know everything's great.
People often ask me, what's your favorite piece? It's really hard to say. The first floor of the museum will, as I noted, be American music history more broadly. And there will also be a temporary gallery where we will rotate exhibits in and out regularly. When you go upstairs, we're going to have Bruce Springsteen songwriter, Bruce Springsteen live looking at his performances, and an East Street Band gallery. In there, what's going to be the most impactful item? I mean, I can't even say. We've got Bruce's mother's scrapbooks,
wow.
right? Things that she lovingly clipped out of the newspaper and glued into scrapbooks by hand. I mean, maybe that's my being a mom. That just speaks to me, right? Right now, he's a global superstar. Everyone adores him. But when Adele was making those scrapbooks, it was just her son. And she didn't know if he would ever sell a record, but she was so proud of him, right? So something like that, something that's very personal, even if it comes from the family, I think is so rare and so unique.
So
it really
intimate.
Is intimate and stands out to people.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, I can't wait to see
yes.
all of them. I'm excited just listen to what you're saying about it. So when my wife and I saw Bruce on Broadway, he made a comment to the audience, something to the extent of, how cool is New Jersey? And the crowd goes nuts. And there's people from all over the country, probably from the world, at this show. And then the crowd settles down a little bit. And he goes, yeah, you can thank me for that. The crowd goes nuts again. And he really speaks to how impactful he has been to New Jersey, making New Jersey part of the brand that it is today, candidly. He's done it through his music, and he stayed centered here. He didn't move to California. He stayed here. He stayed in his roots, and I think that that's just incredible. When you look at his overall impact to the state of New Jersey, what would you say? Like, I know the museum's going to bring a lot of people from all over the world. What do you feel his impact is to the state?
I mean, there is going to be that heritage tourism potential that we discussed, but, you know, it really puts New Jersey on the map in a way that, you know, I dare say, and I'll probably get in trouble for this, but Frank Sinatra probably doesn't, or like a Paul Robeson probably doesn't, and maybe they should, but it just doesn't have that same international identification with the Garden State that Bruce does. He puts New Jersey on the map probably more so than even like a Fort Monmouth, if we can use a different, genre of comparison there. I was, of course, the last historian at Fort Monmouth prior to the base's closure, but here's a military base that supports warfighters from World War I through the global war on terror, and people are already forgetting it, right? Or people don't realize that radar was invented here in Monmouth County. So Bruce's impact, I think, is just so singular, and perhaps nothing is as associated with New Jersey as Bruce. Maybe pork roll.
There's like two things I think about with New Jersey. I think Bruce Springsteen and I think The Sopranos. And they even made their way with Little
Steven.
And
there's overlap there.
There's overlap
yes,
there.
Yes. And yeah.
So we're looking, hopefully we have everything moving forward. We have some sort of groundbreaking sometime in the spring. Hopefully we see things open up in 2026. Are there any last thoughts on the museum that you'd like to talk about?
No, it's just a tremendous opportunity for me personally, for Monmouth County, for the state. And we are so grateful that Bruce chose to make his home here in New Jersey and that he has entrusted us with stewarding his treasures and telling these stories. While we are not opening the museum until spring of 2026 or so, we are very, very busy in the interim. I mentioned the traveling exhibits. We have a tremendous amount of programming. So I really encourage people to find us on the social media channel of their choice or to visit our website, which is springsteenarchives.org. And keep in touch with us now. There's plenty going on even before the building opens.
I'm going to send you over some pictures that my friend's sending over to me so you can check all of those out. I can't wait for it to open, Melissa. I know how busy you are, what you have going on. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
There you go, New Jersey. So not only do you get to have the luxury of Bruce Springsteen being the most iconic person from the state, there's finally a museum going up on Monmouth University campus over the course of the next couple of years. I can't thank Melissa Ziobro enough for taking the time to kind of go through everything with us in detail. You're gonna see everything from Bruce to American music. You stay tuned, we'll keep putting some information out there for you. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process, hosted by Greg Wareham, produced by Greg Wareham and Nick Pavese at The Social Rift, and executively produced by The Social Rift. Thank you again for tuning in, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.